Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We return again to Colossians 2:16-17, and a text that for many people is extremely controversial, and it is controversial as it pertains to one issue primarily, and that is the issue of the Sabbath. Is there indeed such a thing as a Christian Sabbath, and what does this text mean in relationship to that concept? Now here's what it says, Colossians 2:16, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." We opened our study of this text on the broadcast last Friday, and so I simply point out a few things that were said then. First of all, this text clearly connects with what has gone before, as indicated by the opening word, "so." So, or we could substitute the word "therefore," let no one judge you in food or in drink. And I actually, on Friday, went all the way back to verse 8, but I'll just simply pick up the previous two verses, which says, "Christ, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, or therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink," and so forth. Now, previously, Paul had talked about the error, the warning, really the danger, of man-made traditions in verse 8, and reminded them that they had been spiritually circumcised, verse 11, which implies that someone was pressuring them to be physically circumcised, and surely you can see the connection between circumcision, physical circumcision, and what we read in our text today about let no one judge you in food or drink or festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which all have to do with Jewish ceremonial laws, as did circumcision. And several things, other things that went before that I won't go back through now, but you can see the connection here. There seems to be lurking around the outskirts of the Colossian church false teachers who sound very much like the Judaizers that we find elsewhere in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, in the book of Acts, and perhaps other places. Judaizers who were Jews by heritage, by upbringing, who had professed to believe in Christ, but did not allow their faith in Christ to completely remove their allegiance to the Old Testament ceremonial law, to diets and feast days and physical circumcision and so forth and so on. So that's what's in view here in our text in Colossians 2:16-17. Now I need to pause and welcome you to this Monday, July 18, Beacon broadcast, and to remind you that we can only teach on this station as we are helped financially by our radio listeners. Thank you so much for your financial consideration. Well, Paul is saying, don't submit to erroneous judgments. Let no one judge you. And there are a lot of people that do that, don't they? And many times those who are judging others are doing so on a false premise, on a misunderstanding of the Bible. Several examples crowd into my mind at this moment. I don't know if I want to try to go into them now, but it's just a simple fact that we are to make righteous judgments. The Bible commands us to do that. But righteous judgments are those that are made upon a proper understanding of the Bible. They are not judgments that are based upon erroneous interpretations of the Bible, and they are not judgments that are based upon opinions that are based upon teachings that are found in the Bible. That is Pharisaism. So Paul says, do not submit to erroneous judgments. And there are two categories of false teachers that he mentions in verses 16 and 17. They have to do with holy days and dietary laws. Again, verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. So, under Moses, Jews were required to follow a very strict dietary code, but that was removed with the coming of Christ. All of that was ceremonial and it was typological, and it was fulfilled in Christ, and Christ himself said that these things no longer apply. Now you are permitted to eat anything. And Paul picks that teaching up in the Corinthian epistle and tells us plainly that as long as you sanctify it with prayer, thanksgiving and prayer, you're free to eat any food. You're not restricted as you were under the Old Testament law. And then likewise, the religious holy days. Festivals were the annual religious festivals, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. What else is mentioned here? Back to verse 16. New Moon, that of course is the monthly festival on the first day of each month. Trumpets were blown, there was no labor. It was a Sabbath day, it was a day of rest. And there were additional sacrifices and feasts and religious instructions that took place on that day. And then we read Sabbaths, plural. Again, verse 16. New Moon or Sabbaths, the weekly holy day, the day, and the very word Sabbath means rest or cessation. And we're told in verse 17 that all of these are a shadow of things to come. Of course, from the Old Testament point of view, when they were being observed by the Old Testament people of God, they were a shadow, or we might use the word type, of things to come. But with the coming of Christ, they have now come. They're no longer a shadow of things to come. They were a shadow of things to come, pointing forward to Christ, but Christ has now come. And so they were an indistinct indication of a greater reality. And once the greater reality came, then the symbols that were observed to point to the greater reality faded away. So this is why God's people no longer make animal sacrifices. This is why God's people no longer come to a priest upon earth to carry out religious duties on their behalf and to be a mediator between them and God in some fashion. And other things that are done away, because all of these things were pointing to the coming of the Messiah, and he came. His name is Jesus, and he came. And so the substance, we are told, is of Christ. Verse 17 again, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance, or the body, soma, is Christ. The substance is of Christ. A shadow is not the body. A shadow, as you know, is what is cast by the body. You have a body, some physical substance that blocks the sunlight or some other light. It could be an inside light, and it casts a shadow. The shadow is not the body. The body produces the shadow. The shadow doesn't produce the body. The shadow is an indicator. The body is the reality. When Christ came, the reality arrived and the shadow faded away. And so we are no longer to regard the shadow, because now we have the substance of what the shadow spoke of and pointed to, namely Christ. The shadow is, or was, temporary. The body is permanent. The shadow belonged to Moses. The substance belongs to Christ. The shadow was the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. The substance is the new covenant that was inaugurated by Christ in his blood. The shadow is promise. Christ is the fulfillment. Now that's what is being told to us here. So I go back and read the text again. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now, having said all that, let's deal specifically with the Sabbath controversy. And the question is, does this text refer to the weekly Sabbath? And a few, and I would have to say very few, say, no, it doesn't, because the word Sabbath applies to all the feasts, and that can actually be an accurate statement. In other words, the annual festivals, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle, can be called Sabbaths. The new moon, the monthly festival, can be called a Sabbath, as well as the weekly Sabbath. So that's true. So, some say, no, this does not apply to the weekly Sabbath. It cannot mean the weekly Sabbath. And you ask, why does it not mean the weekly Sabbath? And the answer usually is because the weekly Sabbath hasn't been fulfilled, hasn't been removed, hasn't been set aside like these other things have. So it's a rather circular way of reasoning. This can't refer to the weekly Sabbath because we have concluded that the weekly Sabbath doesn't fit into this category. But I say that's a very minor position. And to me, it seems like the text as well as the context plainly indicates the weekly Sabbath. You could maybe say that this refers to the feast days and the new moons and not the weekly Sabbaths if the other things weren't specifically mentioned. Right? If the text said, so let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come but the substances of Christ, then you would have a basis upon which to make an argument that these Sabbaths refer to the feast days and the new moons, but not the weekly Sabbaths. Now, even if that's what it said, that wouldn't prove your statement, but there would be a stronger basis, I think, to assert that. But the problem is that the text specifically mentions festivals, new moons, and then also Sabbaths. So evidently the Sabbaths here are not the festivals or the new moons. They are, and what's left? The weekly Sabbath. That's the only thing that's left, because the others have already been spelled out. So does this text refer to the weekly Sabbath? It seems to me that it does. I don't see how you can avoid that conclusion. And I'll have to come back on the broadcast tomorrow and deal with this more fully. And I'm sorry we're running out of time today, but let me read it again. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one judge you in regard to these things. Now, does that mean you can't observe a weekly Sabbath? No, you can. But are you required to? Well, evidently not. And if you choose not to, don't let those who do it judge you in regard to that. Just like you could follow a Mosaic dietary law, but you're certainly not required to. You understand what I'm saying? Well, let's take it up again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.